I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Vin Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Ford.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is Chico Now. Now.
Chico Now.
Welcome, welcome. This is your host, Jessica Wilkerson, and I am a licensed marriage and family therapist registered with the California Board of Behavioral Sciences, number 104464. And I am also your Monday host for Chico Now on KKXX Radio, FM 104.5, AM 930, and live streaming at kkxx.net. So I just want to tell you, I am 38 and a half. Well, tomorrow I will be 39 weeks pregnant. So 39 weeks pregnant while I record this. And something really cute I've noticed. I noticed it with my last pregnancy 3 years ago and now with this one. And whenever I go into like empathy mode, which I'm a therapist, so during the workday I'm in empathy mode most of the day, right? But once I go into like deep empathy, where someone's telling me about this traumatic thing that happened, this little baby starts wiggling and kicking. I think that she gets empathy mode vicariously. I think that she knows there's something going on the outside world that deserves her attention. And my baby 3 years ago did that. I provide EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization, and oh my gosh, I can't think of the R. Pregnant brain is so real. Anyways, it's trauma processing. And whenever I provide that type of trauma processing with my client, I am almost in a meditative or prayerful state. Actually, sometimes I do pray for my clients while we're doing EMDR. But I go into this state, and whenever I'm in that state, the baby starts wiggling and kicking and moving. And I was just talking with one of the hosts of our other show, Joe, and he was telling me about his children and when they were born, and there's some complications, and I went into that empathy mode, like feeling for him and for his wife and for the little baby when it was born, and there she goes wiggling and kicking again. I just think it's the neatest thing. But also, oh my goodness, I'm 39 weeks pregnant. I've been pregnant for eternity. I'm ready for her to come out. I will miss the empathy kicks, but I'm ready. So this is going to be aired in a few weeks, but I will take your prayers for delivery and prayers for her health and well-being and for me to have a speedy recovery, because I sure need that. I sure need prayer. And today we're talking about, Today, we're going to talk about boundaries with family members. So I was thinking about, when is this going to be airing? It will probably be airing at the end of October, early November, right when the Thanksgiving holiday is coming up. And what are people going to be experiencing? And the last couple of weeks, we've spoken about relationships. And so this is still relationship, but it's relationship with your whole family. And I was talking with one of my girlfriends. A lot of my topics come up from talking with girlfriends. That's kind of how I pick what we're going to talk about today, each week. And she was talking about having a family member who's always asking her how much stuff costs, or just they're adults, they're in their 60s, and the person comes over just to hang out. You know, like what we did when we were teenagers, but he's much, much older than that. So he just comes over to sit on her couch and hang out and asks her all these personal questions all the time. And so we were talking about, wow, what are good ways to respond to that? Because she's just kind of over it. And so we came up with some ways to interact with him so that he can learn. And then we came up with some ways to speak to him so that he can have a more direct approach. Because some people are better at picking up hints, and some people are better at the direct approach. And I think that there should be a happy medium. Because if we're super direct all the time, it can get to kind of being a crutch, and we lose the softness about who we are, and we lose the softness of relationships with other people. But if we're always beating around the bush, dropping hints, why won't they get a clue? Well, that's not very kind either, because sometimes people just need you to be direct. And sometimes you need to just put on your big girl boots or big boy boots and say what's going on with you, right? So finding the happy balance. So what do we do with that? So if we have a family member who is toxic or who is always crossing our boundaries, how do we respond to that in a way that is loving and reflects Christ and reflects the good nature and the goodness of who we really are and where our heart really is, but also stops that behavior so we're not on the receiving end of always having to flex those boundaries? So a boundary is like a muscle, right? It's your fence line. It guards. It keeps out the bad and keeps in the good. That's from Cloud and Townsend. That's how they coin the boundary. Keeps out the bad and keeps in the good. And so I really like to think about what are the things that we're keeping in and what do we need to specifically address to keep out. Okay, we're going to go to a commercial break right now. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how we communicate to those family members so that we're keeping in the good, keeping out the bad, and maintaining the relationship. Or at least improving the relationship. Okay? All right. This is Jessica Wilkerson, licensed marriage and family therapist from Chico Creek Counseling. Stay tuned.
I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Ben Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Ford.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is Chico Now.
Chico Now.
Welcome back. This is your host, Jessica Wilkerson, and I am here to talk to you more about balancing relationships with family members who cross your boundaries or who might be toxic. And I just want to remind you that this is a 30-minute radio show. It is not a substitute for your own psychotherapy. So if you need more information about whatever we're talking about, please reach out to somebody in your area who is qualified to help you work on that. Most marriage and family therapists, clinical social workers, and clinical psychologists are capable and skilled with helping people with this type of issue. And so going to talk to them to say, I just need to learn some tools on communicating with my spouse, my cousin, my in-laws, because they just keep stepping over my boundaries and I'm really struggling. What I'm doing isn't working. And then they'll set an appointment with you and you guys can have a brainstorming strategizing session. You can tell them specifically about what's going on in your life, and then they can help you come up with a plan. Usually takes a few sessions, because whatever's happening in your life usually takes a session or two to talk about. You only have 50 minutes in a session. Okay, so let's keep going. So you have this person in your life who repeatedly steps over your boundaries. Repeatedly. And often I find people say, well, this is my cousin. Well, this is my spouse. Well, this is my brother-in-law. Well, this is whoever they're justifying. This is family, and they're family, and I can't, I just can't go there. Well, the first step in having boundaries is giving yourself permission to have the boundary. So just because they're related to you does not give them permission to carte blanche, do whatever they want to do, say whatever they want to say, ask whatever question they want to ask. They still have to respect the rules of social etiquette and they still have to respect your own personal rules. Because some people are completely okay being an open book about everything. And that's actually not necessarily a good thing. That might be too loose of boundaries. But some people are okay with that. Some people are a little bit more closed off, a little more tight-lipped. And some people have a happy medium in between, or certain topics are off limit. And you know what? Whatever is comfortable for you, that's okay. So if you're one of the people who says, you know, I don't like it when your brother, my brother-in-law does this thing or repeatedly asks me these same questions, I don't like that. And then someone else says, oh, but it's family, or oh, it's no big deal, or oh, you just got to let that go. You don't have to let that go. I mean, you don't have to hold a grudge, but you can stand up for yourself and say, you know, I don't feel comfortable talking about this topic with you. This is just not a topic that I like to explore with you. It's just not on my priority list. And so giving yourself permission to say no is truly the first step. Because when we're justifying other people's behavior that hurts us, we're never going to be able to effectively, firmly, and compassionately tell them no. We're just going to have this resentment that builds up, and we're going to feel bad about ourselves that we don't like whatever it is they're doing. And then we're never going to like what they're doing. We're just going to keep feeling guilty about the fact that we don't like it. And we're going to be caught in this whirlwind and this stuck in this cycle. And that's not healthy. That's not healthy for us. And it's not healthy for the relationships with those people. And it's not fair to them either, because they're continuing to do this behavior that we're allowing. And if someone was allowing you to engage in a certain behavior and then resenting you for it, that wouldn't feel good, right? You would want them to say, hey, I don't like it when you do this, so that you at least have an opportunity to correct that behavior, rather than having them sitting around resenting you for it or dreading your interaction with them. And you have no idea, because they've been letting you ask those questions and they've been answering them for you. So giving the other people in your life the respect of you giving yourself permission to say no. Does that make sense? Okay. Sometimes I feel like I talk in circles in general as who I am, and it's gotten worse with pregnancy. Okay. So the first step is giving yourself that permission. The next step is really sitting down and thinking about, what am I comfortable with sharing and what am I not comfortable with sharing? Because having that clear definition in your mind, that helps you spot it when it's happening, rather than you just feel discomfort and you don't know why you feel discomfort. So many people say, oh yeah, I don't know. Whenever my cousin so-and-so comes around, I'm always on edge. And I go, oh, well, what's going on for you? Why are you on edge? And they say, I don't know. I just, whenever she's around, I'm on my guard. Well, what is she doing to put you on your guard? What are you worried about? I don't know. I get so much of the I don't know. But it's true, because they haven't sat and analyzed it. So I want you to do that. Sit down for a minute and think about, what is it that you don't like? What is it that you would prefer? And so once you have that, what you'd prefer and what you don't like, we can start thinking about how you respond to that, how you communicate. How you say, you know, I don't really like talking about my relationship. So I have girlfriends who sometimes will ask, oh, how are things going? And they say it in that kind of like lower tone. How are things going in your marriage? As though they're waiting for me to tell them it's going poorly. And actually, my marriage is a pretty good marriage. So I don't like that. So I respond and I say, oh, it's going pretty good, you know, but I don't really feel like talking about my marriage right now. Let's talk about our plans for Saturday. And I change the subject.
I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Ben Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Ford.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is Chico Now.
Chico Now.
Welcome, welcome. This is your host, Jessica Wilkerson, and I am a licensed marriage and family therapist. I'm registered with the California Board of Behavioral Sciences, license number 104464, and I work at Chico Creek Counseling. I'm currently on maternity leave from Chico Creek Counseling, so I'm not taking any new clients, but there are about 8 or 9 other therapists at Chico Creek Counseling. So if you want to find us at www.chicocreekcounseling.com, my bio is still up there, so if you want to learn more about the lady you're listening to on the radio, you can definitely look me up, Jessica Wilkerson. Or if you want to find somebody here in the Chico area, we're located right in Chico, right over by the police station, or the Hignall building, then you can find all my colleagues. There are some great people who work there. I just love it there. I love it. It's a private practice, so it's a whole bunch of people in private practice who share a building and a biller. and we call ourselves Chico Creek Counseling. Okay, so once again, we're talking about communicating our boundaries. So I hear a lot of people talk about how their family members, maybe they're maybe in their 20s and 30s, their in-laws will often ask them about their finances. And that feels really uncomfortable, and they feel like they need to honor their mother and father, so they have to answer those questions about finances. That's not really honoring your mother and father by answering every single question they ask, right? Because then you're also feeling some resentment in your heart towards them, and that's not honoring them either. So communicating and saying, hey, you know, I've got this. I don't feel comfortable talking about my finances with you right now, but if I need some guidance, you will be the first one I call. Or, I mean, if that's not true, don't say it. If I need some guidance, and I think it's something that you are good at and you can help me with, I will definitely call you. But otherwise, you know, you can just be rest assured that we got this handled. And so letting people know, this is my boundary. This is my line. This is where it is. I'm being upfront about it. This is your, let your words mean your yes mean yes and your no mean no, right? So the next one is sometimes you have a family member who uses anger or guilt trips, or they have a sense of entitlement, or they try to manipulate the situation, and you feel really uncomfortable, and you feel like it's not worth it. It's not worth it to flex my boundary muscle if I have to deal with their anger, if I have to deal with their guilt trip. I'm just going to say yes right now because I don't want to deal with the guilt trip, and dealing with the guilt trip is worse than giving in whatever it is that I don't want to give in for. Here's the thing. Here's the rub. You keep doing that, and they're going to keep doing what they're doing. And you're going to keep being in this situation of doing the things that you don't want to do. And is that a happy life? And is that going to make a happy relationship for you and that person? Or are you going to continue dreading them and continue resenting them and continue having these ill feelings towards them because you feel like you have to always compromise because you don't want to deal with their response? Here's the thing. We deal with that response a handful of times and they get it. It sinks in. So people who already engage in these behaviors, they're already guilt trippers. They already manipulate. They already escalate with their emotions and get angry. They're already feeling this sense of entitlement. They're not going to take your new boundary. They're not going to take it well. Just expect that because they already don't have the healthy boundaries of their own in respecting other people's boundaries, right? But when they have to engage in that behavior and then it doesn't work, it is so uncomfortable for them to go through all of that emotion and all of that work and for it not to reach fruition, that after a few times of you flexing that boundary muscle, they stop. And now you can have a good relationship on the terms that you're comfortable with. And then when your no means no, it really means no, and they respect that more. And I say they respect that more because it is a slow process. There will be a big jump. So you say no, you mean it, you flex your boundary muscle, you give yourself the permission, you've already thought about your response, and then you apply that response. And then they have their unhealthy response, which you were expecting. And you move through it in the discomfort that it is. And that happens a few times. And after that few times, they're going to start begrudgingly respecting it. But then they're going to try it. There's going to be some pushback after a few times. They're going to, like children, they're going to see, is this still valid? Or can I get my way now? Nope. And then they're going to have their response, but it'll be less. It won't be as full on as it was. And then there'll be a few more interactions, like the window gets longer, that are healthy and normal. And then they'll test it again. And they will have their negative response, but it won't be as bad as the last one, which was not as bad as the normal one. And as time goes on, your relationship with them becomes more reciprocal in respect and more reciprocal in enjoyment. You both are enjoying each other because you know where each other stands. And then you can genuinely like them and be fulfilled with that relationship. Sometimes it takes a year or more. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But could you imagine you've lived your life this long and you work on it for a couple of months or a year, and then the rest of your life you get to enjoy them? That's worth the investment.